Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, dear friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries. With me is Bobby Walter, our Brooklyn director and Manhattan regional director. Hey, Bobby, how's it going for you today?
Going well, Mitch.
Nice day in Brooklyn, is it? The weather okay?
Beautiful day.
Love it. And the Lord is blessing. Are you seeing God's hand in the work in Brooklyn?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and as you know, we've had a busy season here, just with mission trips and small groups coming in and camps and things like that. So definitely some exciting stuff that we're seeing God do.
Listen, brothers and sisters, make sure you check out the Chosen People website, chosenpeople.com, so that you can find out not only about what we're doing, so that you can pray for us, but so that you can find out what you could be doing. So we have lots of great opportunities for partnership for you and for your local church. Start talking to your missions pastor, to your evangelism pastor, to your senior pastor. Start talking to them about participating with Chosen People Ministries in a short-term mission effort in Brooklyn, New York, and we'll edge into Manhattan as well. Could we use some more help, Bobby, you think, next year?
Always.
All right, so check it out. And we also have a number of Israel trips. Some of them are for younger people, some of them are for mature people like myself. And so we have some really great trips. Outreach Israel for college students. We have Discover Israel for those who are in the beginning of their career, maybe up to 40 years old, available to Jewish believers, Gentile believers, whoever. We take everybody, and we hope that some of you will come and spend some time in Israel with us. And if you don't want to go all the way to Israel, you can come to New York. We even have something in Florida called Fun in the Sun, S-O-N. What's that all about, Bobby?
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful opportunity to take like 5 or 6 days in the winter, usually January or February, to go down and help out our Florida staff and hit the beach to share the gospel with Jewish people.
You wear shorts?
I think it's encouraged, yeah.
Okay. You know, so anyway, with my legs, I wouldn't do it. But I think that it's a great opportunity for sharing the gospel with Jewish people, a lot of college students around too during that winter break period. And so wonderful, wonderful opportunities. So take advantage of it, brothers and sisters. And that's what we're in the middle of right now. We're actually talking about Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, which I believe is not a parenthesis, as some have thought, but rather the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul, where he expresses his passion and deep burden for his own Jewish people. And we've been dealing pretty much in depth with chapter 11. We're working our way right to left. That's in good Hebrew style. Hebrew, of course, is written right to left, so we're following that pattern. And we're landing right now in the middle of chapter 10, and we're going to continue talking about how you can be more involved in sharing the gospel with a Jewish person, relative, friend, classmate, workmate, someone you meet on a plane, just some Jewish person, maybe a neighbor. And so we want to give you some tips. And so we're moving along in this series, and it's really based upon Romans chapter 10, Paul's writing to the Roman believers about sharing the gospel with both Jews and Gentiles. So Bobby, you want to read verses 9 through 15? Could you read that? From Romans chapter 10?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. So Romans 10, beginning in verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things.
So I hope your feet are beautiful today, brothers and sisters. Feet are always beautiful when they take us to the places God wants us to go. And certainly that is directly to a Jewish or Gentile person who does not have Jesus in their heart and life yet, and has not yet received the gift of everlasting life. And so right in the middle, it's kind of like the pastrami or the corned beef in the middle of the sandwich between Romans 9, 10, and 11. So 10 is really at the core. And you can see one of the points Paul makes is even though there are dispensational folks who believe that there are very strong distinctions between Jews and Gentiles in the plan of God, and I know that there are all versions of this, but I think we have to recognize that it is biblical. It's not necessarily belonging to one theological system. There is without a doubt a different relationship. God created both Jews and Gentiles and has a plan for both groups of people. But the one thing that is absolutely the same, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, is that the only way to be saved is through Jesus the Messiah. Paul again writes in verse 12, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, between Jews and Gentiles, for the same Lord is Lord over all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. And then Paul caps it by saying, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means that we are affirming what Jesus said when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, Jew or Gentile, no woman, no child, nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so we want to encourage you, particularly in your testimony to the Jewish people today. And so we are going through some challenges to Jewish evangelism, and maybe we can give you some help in how to respond to these challenges, and then at least you're aware of the challenges so that when you begin sharing the gospel with a Jewish person, you won't be taken by surprise. And so this week we want to cover a number of new challenges, and we'll do the same next week until I feel we've presented enough material to really, really help you. Help Jewish people call in the name of the Lord. So here's number one. Most Jewish people have never heard the gospel and know very little about Jesus. Now, you might say, wow, we live in a Christian country. We have Christian radio. We have Christian TV. We have so many websites. We are a free, religiously free country. We're not inhibited. We can talk to anybody we want about Jesus. So why would Jewish people have never heard the gospel? Well, because Jewish people do not float in the same stream as Gentile believers, as Christians. I remember as a young kid, we had Channel 11 in New York City. And Channel 11 was a very interesting local channel. Number one, it had the baseball games. And so I grew up in Queens, New York, so of course I was a Met fan. That was part of our religious faith.
Okay? Sorry to hear that, Mitch.
Well, I can root for the Yankees too, except when there's a Subway Series, then I have to go with the Mets.
Understood.
And so there were times, though, on Channel 11 that if Billy Graham was giving a crusade somewhere, that actually the crusade would somehow end up on Channel 11. And so I watched Channel 11 a lot because I love baseball. And every once in a while, Billy Graham would pop up. And I would listen for a minute or two. Of course, I knew it wasn't the ball game. And I would turn to another channel. Why? Because it's not like it's official or that the rabbis came out with a statement or my mother told me when I was a baby, you know, never listen to Billy Graham. It's just Jewish people know that that's not for them. And so even when you have the opportunity to hear about Jesus, you float in a different stream, and Jewish people, to some degree, cherish their identity as not believing in Jesus. So if you ask a Jewish person, what do you believe is important about being Jewish? They might even define it negatively by saying, well, Jewish people do not believe in Jesus, because Jewish people recognize there's a Christian majority, of course, in the United States. Not everybody's a authentic born-again Christian. Some people are nominal Christians, but we know that it's quote-unquote a Christian country. So Jewish people have never heard the gospel and know very little about Jesus. What do you think, Bobby, when you're sharing the gospel with Jewish people in New York City, what's the gospel knowledge level among most Jewish people? Am I speaking the truth here?
Yeah. In my experience, and again, we've been serving here in New York for over 15 years now. And you're exactly right. It's almost at the point where you just have to assume when you're meeting a Jewish person that they have never heard the gospel and that there's no clear grasp on what the gospel is, you know, and the content of that message, this good news that Isaiah prophesied about, that these people who have beautiful feet would be bringing. Well, the content of that ultimately is the gospel. It's the fact that Jesus, the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah of Israel, laid down his life, took on human flesh, laid down his life as a sacrifice, as he died on that tree, as he died on that cross, for our sins, for our crimes, and for our transgressions, and that he was buried for a time, and then on the third day, he rose from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave.
Right. And Jewish people, they know very little about the person of Jesus, mm-hmm. but they also know very little about the core gospel message.
Right.
And so, please, dear friends, be very patient with Jewish people. Ask a lot of questions. You can find out how much they know if you just ask them, what have you heard about Jesus? Or have you ever met a real Christian before? And do you know what real Christians believe? These are interesting topics to Jewish people, particularly if they're your friends. You're not supposed to talk about religion or politics, but everybody talks about religion and politics, you know. And so it's fair game to ask good questions. Listen carefully. You'll know what the Jewish person knows, and so you'll know what you need to share. A second challenge is that most Jewish people have never read the New Testament. In fact, the New Testament is viewed as a foreign religious document. Jewish people just don't read the New Testament. Brothers and sisters, if you hear sirens in the background, just know that this is an authentic recording in New York City. I just want you to know that, okay? And I'm in the middle of Manhattan right now, and so we do have sirens, and just thank God that I'm not in Times Square, because it would be louder. And so when I was first thinking about Jesus, I prayed this prayer, Bobby, because my friends had gotten saved, and I was, again, reading the Old Testament, but I was reading it in English, not in Hebrew, because in Hebrew I understood like every third word mm-hmm. at best. And so they challenged me to read my own Bible, and of course I took up the challenge. Honestly, I was trying to figure out how to fight with them and argue against Jesus, because that's what a Jewish person's supposed to do. It's just the way we are raised. And we see conversion as somebody trying to get us to be a non-Jew. Mm-hmm. And Jews have died to stay Jews. And so, you know, it's very threatening to a Jewish person. And so I pray, God, show me the truth. You know, if you're listening and you've never prayed that prayer, and God's touching your heart, you should pray that prayer. It takes courage. But pray that prayer and then be open to what God shows you. And so I prayed the prayer, God, show me the truth. And that night, I was in the Redwood Forest in Northern California, a little town called Pescadero, outside of Pescadero, near the beautiful Northern California coast, filled with tide pools and all sorts of beautiful rock formations and water too cold to swim in. And so I was in the Redwood Forest right nearby. And I was working for the Marin County Board of Education as an outdoor education counselor. Of course, I knew very little about outdoor education because I'm from New York. But I was one step ahead of the fourth graders. Sometimes I was ahead. And so I prayed that prayer. And late that night, one of my young kids wanted to call his mother. He was homesick and so on. And, you know, you're not supposed to really bring them to a phone booth. But I brought them to a phone booth. And brother and sister, if you don't know what a phone booth is, look it up in Wikipedia. I know. Some of you don't. Some of you hopefully know what a phone booth is. And so there on the ledge where there should have been a phone book, kind of glowing in the moonlight, really, because the moonbeams go one by one through the redwood trees. It's really spectacular. And there on this ledge, kind of shining or glowing in the moonlight, was a strange little book. It said, Good News for Modern Man. I had no idea what it was. So I started looking, of course. I went to the back to see who endorsed it, you know. And then went, I didn't know anybody who did it. And then I went to the front and began looking at the chapters and odd names like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Philippians and Galatianos or whatever it was. These were such foreign words to me. And I didn't know what a Philippians was or what a Galatians was. I had a good idea what a Romans was. But I didn't know these other things. And then Revelation, what the heck was that? And so I looked at it and then I kept reading through it. And there were little stick figures of people. And one of those stick figures was a stick figure of Jesus. How did I know it was Jesus? Because he had long hair. That's how I knew it was Jesus. And then so I immediately went back and looked at the front of the New Testament again and discovered that it was good news for modern man. And then it said, a modern English version of the New Testament. Now, indeed, it was a very modern English version. It was not a literal translation, but it was just what I needed because my brain was kind of blown from drugs. So, you know, I needed something simple. And I began reading that New Testament. And Bobby, I knew nothing. I had never really seen a New Testament.
Wow.
And so the story of Jesus was incredible to me, fascinating. He was not anti-Semitic as I thought. He was actually Jewish himself. And I believed his claims to be the Messiah. And for some reason, by God's grace, I believed that he was God in the flesh. And so I read that New Testament in three nights. After I put my charges to sleep in their bunks, and I couldn't stop reading it. And I came face to face with Jesus the Messiah through the New Testament.
Wow.
And I couldn't argue that it wasn't Jewish because I knew he was Jewish. He celebrated Passover and Hanukkah and all the Jewish festivals. I knew he was Jewish, but I knew he was more than Jewish. He was God in the flesh. And I thought to myself, especially when reading the Sermon on the Mount, that no human being could come up with these statements unless it was really the voice of God. And so it was because I found the New Testament that God gave me, of course, and because I read it, that I accepted Jesus. Dear friend, if you can get your Jewish associate or family member or a dear friend, if you can encourage them in any way to read the New Testament, maybe give it to them as a Hanukkah gift. I don't know, you know. But if you can do that, then they're going to be much closer to understanding you and much closer to the Lord. Because as Paul writes in verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the word of the Messiah. So they need to hear the word. They need to read the word because it's the word of God that has power. And so I pray that you'll be able to overcome that objection by gently and sensitively encouraging your Jewish friend to read the good news.
The 7th of October was the worst day in the history of the Jewish people since the Holocaust. As a nation, we are going through a difficult time, but in the same time, we can see God continues to move.
Collectively, we were in a bit of shock until recently. There's a different and new level of pain and sadness and anger that people are experiencing now and feeling more now. I mean, me personally, at the beginning, I couldn't really cry. Just a couple weeks ago, I noticed I almost can't not cry. And I've spoken to many people who are saying similar things.
We've noticed that in light of all that's going on, people are very hungry and they're searching. They're looking for deep Bible studies. They're looking for fellowship. And these are things that we've always been doing and we continue to do.
People ask me, Danielle, how did you know what to say to those people? I don't need to speak, but just to be present, to hug, to smile, to play with the kids, and just to be there, which also brought me a lot of comfort during this time.
Everybody just wants to come, dive deeper into God's word, dive deeper in conversations, be real with one another, pray with each other, even praise in that place of brokenness. And it's been beautiful to see people coming from all walks of life, whether they've been mature believers, new believers, believers who have walked away and are seeking their way back, and non-believers.
In the war, in the first week, I was filming a little video of how people could pray for us right now. There was a young woman standing on the street, looking confused and just standing there, and she kind of overheard me and came over. And it turned out she hadn't left her home once in the last 4 days, and she was very nervous to be outside. And she asked me why I was making this video about praying. And I shared with her that I'm someone who believes in God in a very personal and relational way. Little by little, we continued to have dialogue through this season, and now she's coming to Bible study.
Because of the situation, we needed to hire security guy, and he just came and protected our place during the big events. Love of God touched his heart. And without any pressure for us, he started to ask us questions about our faith, about Jesus. He decided to start discipleship and then was baptized. And now he married with a messianic believer, and they attend one of the churches here in Tel Aviv.
And the more we've grown, the more ministry opportunities God has given us, the more activities we've been able to do, the more individuals we've been able to touch. And when we look at what's happened just over the last few years, we see more non-believers coming to us and asking questions. We see more young believers or brand new believers coming to us and asking us to be discipled. So I guess our hope is to see God do that and to expand upon that, to see more non-believers come to faith.
People are looking for hope. We hear many people are turning to the Psalms. People who weren't open to God are searching for God. There's really an opportunity to walk with people and to show them that God is with us too in the midst of it, and he knows what we're going through.
And if we as believers can find safety place in God, then from this position, we can encourage others to do the same and be a good testimony for our nation in this difficult period of time.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we want you to know that your faithful partnership with this ministry is enabling us to introduce Jewish people to the Messiah each and every day. And you can help us by letting us know that you're praying for this ministry. To connect online, just go to chosenpeople.com/radio. And while you're there, be sure to request your free gift.
Well, Bobby, if any of our listeners are a bit confused or trying to understand what's happening in Israel today, I don't blame you, dear friend, because I'm trying to figure it out as well. But one thing I know for sure, that whatever is happening is in one way or another the fulfillment of prophecy. And so you want to get Harold Sevner's book, Israel's Glorious Future. This short but concise guide will help walk you through Israel's history, beginning with God's covenant with Abraham, all the way to the new heavens and new earth. That's found in the book of Revelation. It's a must-have reading guide for anyone who has a heart for the Jewish people. So request your free copy today at chosenpeople.com/radio.
You can also ask for Harold Sevner's book, Israel's Glorious Future, by calling us at 888-2-YESHUA. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. Once again, that number is 888-293-7482. And now, let's wrap up today's program with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha Ya'er ponav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai ponav elecha V'yisem lecha shalom, v'yisem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.